Hello there, empaths, artists, intuitives, healers, and modern mystics. Welcome to Empath Entertainment Podcast with your host, Rachel. Today, we're going to talk about what happens when the person you became meets the person you could have been. And at first, the first time I heard that phrase, I felt a little bit of a drop in my heart, feeling all the missed opportunities and, you know, all the assumptions I make about things I could have done differently and how I beat myself up about things that I should, you know, how I should be further along in certain areas of my life and really self-critical. But the more you sort of explore that idea, a lot of things come to mind for me. Oftentimes what will happen is we will really admire qualities in somebody else that we don't really own in ourselves, right? But we still deem them positive traits. So we might meet somebody and they're so personable and friendly and they magnetize people with their light. And we really wish we had more of that, you know? And, you know, there probably are many reasons why we don't. You know, I know for me, sometimes I feel overwhelmed and that I'm not safe if I have too much attention. And that's something I've been working on healing for a while, because you can imagine for an artist feeling like you're more safe being invisible is probably going to be a problem. You're probably not going to have, you know, very many gigs in a row. And, you know, for my nervous system would frequently feel overwhelmed walking onto stage. I would have to really, I'd have to find tactics to really put myself at ease and relax. I dealt with more than excitement, I would say. Sometimes terror really would overtake me, all my fears. So I had to find ways to really calm myself. And I started to realize part of that is this belief that it's safer for me to be invisible. And sometimes I wonder what my path as a performing artist could have been, and if it's too late at this point, what it could have been if I would have understood that, have been aware that that was something I could change, that was something I could shift. It's not something I had to deal with forever, right? And that comes with this transformation in self-identity and supporting the regulation of the nervous system. And I didn't understand that for a very long time. I thought, well, this is the hand I was dealt. That's what I need to, well, maybe I guess that means I wasn't designed for this work, or I wasn't designed to do certain things. And, well, maybe I'm just better at video then because I'll have more than one take. So, but then all other kinds of insecurities will come up. So, there was definitely some healing to be done. And I've definitely done my share, and there's always more to go. But I started to think about this concept of meeting the person I could have been, right? And, you know, seeing attributes and qualities outside of myself and other people that I really need to own more in myself, acknowledge that I have that choice. I can do that, right? I can access that. And practice it to make it more, to express it with more ease, and even work with them as a model, right? As a mentor in a way, where I model their behavior. I think about how do they do what they do? And one of those people for me is my Aunt Liz. She has an amazing way with people. And I was always very awkward and shy, and I didn't understand. I thought that that was just, that's what I was given. That was what I was dealt. I'm always going to have to deal with it. But, you know, watching her with people and kind of making that a study. And of course, part of her blood is flowing through my veins too. We share DNA. So that means I have access to that too, right? When it comes to people in your family. And I would watch her just charm wait staff, right? Or greeters at different venues. And I mean, there were so many times where she was offered, you know, excellent service and ticket upgrades and things just because she really understood how to make someone else feel like a star. And, you know, she really did that for me too. And you know, the people like that in your life, you care about what they think. You care about what they have to say. And I started to realize that what she was really doing was taking the focus off of herself. And for a long time, I didn't understand that. I couldn't see what she was doing. It just seemed like magic to me. But what she was actually doing was not thinking about herself, not thinking about her insecurities, right? But she has them too, just like anyone else. What she was thinking about was shining a light onto the person in front of her and finding something to celebrate about them, even in a small way, or asking their opinion, making them feel important. And like that works a treat for waiters, right? I mean, unless it's really busy, right? But, you know, hotel staff, you know, and having been in service for a really long time, I don't know why I didn't understand that, having worked in service. But once I started really understanding how she did what she did, I started modeling it and watching it, you know, sort of work its magic. And I think that's a big secret. And it's not so secret. We hear it all the time, right? That, you know, instead of thinking about how you're perceived or, you know, impressing people, think about what they need, right? Think about what they're seeking and desiring and put the focus on them and meeting their needs, right? Instead of, which is very different. It sounds like a small shift in perspective or a shift in focus, but it's huge. It just shifts everything. It changed the trajectory, you know, thinking about, well, how do I impress you? how do I convince you I'm smart? Or how do I convince you that I'm entertaining and funny? Well, chances are, if I'm trying to convince you, you're not going to feel it. You're going to feel repelled. But if I consider what might be helpful for you, right? And if you're a healer and you're seeking, you know, more clients or to create a program, you know, it really helps to shift the focus, right? Same with an artist. If you're in a scene, what helps, right? If you're an actor in a scene, what really helps to calm the nerves is to shift your focus to the person you're speaking to, right? And there are different, what I learned with one of my teachers was that there are different spheres of awareness that you can work with and you play with those. But it's a way of managing your focus so that you're not focused on nerves. you know, you're not focused on, do I have enough breath left? You know, so when we see these attributes that we really admire outside of us, it's really an indication that we're just seeking more access to that internally, right? If we're putting someone else on a pedestal, know that that's just saying, I value this. And you have access to it. And so take note of that. And you know what's even more amazing is when you know, the person you're admiring, right? The person that you're like, wow, they have all these amazing qualities. I wish I could be like them. They see amazing qualities in you too. And you come together and remind each other, right? And reflect greatness back to one another. That's really beautiful. I think that the way we hold our focus, right? And what we pay attention to, it changes. It changes our lives eventually, right? Because that, you know, our lives are at our small moments adding up and creating meaning. So where are you putting your focus here? You know, the opposite's also true when we come in contact with somebody that we despise. We can't stand, you know, very rarely, right? You know, the compassionate empath. But it does happen where certain things grate on us or trigger our insecurity or just rub us the wrong way. That's also an indication that that's something that we have disowned within us. It's a shadow, right? Because we're having an intense reaction to it. So in a way, you know, we can also meet the person who we haven't become because it's a rule for us. We don't show up that way. And we'll have a strong reaction to that as well, right? So I think the key really is to collapse a lot of these triggers. And I work with hypnosis to do that, which shifts your self-identity. And that's really where it's at. That's where the magic is, right? Because you're going to fulfill that. How you see yourself in your mind's eye, you're going to fulfill that. That gives our, you know, our behaviors and our, that gives our thoughts an engine and fuels our behaviors, right? So we really want to work with that. And we do so over time while we transform with, you know, the capabilities and capacity of neuroplasticity, which is really exciting for me. And those shifts can happen in very little time. I talk about the moment I started exploring my Akashic record. I've done so just a little bit. And my first sort of entry into the records to view my own, I was shown a very traumatic event from my childhood that I didn't really understand. I was still carrying. I was still storing because I kind of pushed it down. And I recalled that it happened, but I didn't understand how much my responses and reactions were based on trauma due to, in part at least, this event. And when I was shown this event and sort of associated into the memory, and I was crying, I was reliving it to a certain extent. I asked, why are you showing me this? And they're like, oh, to release some of the trauma. So what happened after that healing experience, it was very therapeutic. I started being less hypervigilant. There were certain triggers I had that were never fails for me to be triggered into rage at times. Certain things that would make me see a harsh word, but enemies, right? People out to get me, and to always be vigilant about that. And, you know, if that's your focus, that's really going to affect your life. You can imagine, right? So when I had this release, those tendencies really eased up. And it really healed some of the relationships in my life that I may have deemed problematic because of my own trauma responses. And I didn't even realize that's what was happening. I really just thought that the problem was with them to a huge extent. I really didn't understand the implication, my accountability in it. So when I healed that, I stopped having the reaction in my nervous system and things became a lot more neutral. So I hope that's, you know, I share that because I hope that's inspiring to hear, to know that, you know, maybe you're experiencing some suffering now, but there is healing possibility and potential. And the methods are out there. You just find the one that works for you, something that supports you in releasing some of this stored unexpressed stuff, right? Like there are parts in you that are carrying maybe heavy burdens, maybe belong to you, maybe don't. And, you know, it can be really supportive to listen, to hear. Because how many times do we sort of just shut down those internal voices or signals? And could you imagine doing that to someone else or a small child? Some of these parts that are carrying heavy burden, very young. And you know, if we can be someone we can trust, we can look out into the world and see more people that we can trust because we trust ourselves to handle what comes, right? And then maybe when we meet the person we could have become, you know, it's not so far off from the person we became. We can take some pride in, you know, the progress, the growth that happened, and you know, nothing is of waste when we're learning and growing. And that's something that I like to celebrate constantly. Look back at the progress, like, wow, look how far I've come, and celebrate that. And know that, yes, I have a higher self with more potential, but all I can ask for is progress, right? I only celebrate progress now. I don't seek perfection. Sometimes I get into that perfectionistic tendency, but I'm quick to bring my focus back to, okay, but look at the progress, you know, look what you cared for and look what you took care of and healed, right? Sure, there's more to go, but why put all of your focus and attention in what you're lacking, right? There's so much more benefit to having gratitude and pleasure and celebrating. So let's celebrate the progress we've made. And you can see yourself having hit the goal, right, already, and feel your way into that. But know that if you're one of those people that measures yourself to an ideal and you always fall short, that, you know, perfection is, you know, self-abusive. So holding yourself to that standard and beating yourself up for not hitting that is, it's not good for you. So let's end that cycle. And how about we celebrate strengths, progress, and consider what you're offering the world? Put the focus out of you and what you sense you're lacking and onto, you know, just enjoying the people and things around you. And maybe that will lend itself to a more enjoyable experience here while we have it, right? So if you need a loving witness, you know, I offer services and I'd be happy to be a companion on your journey and support you in any way I can. You know, urbanempath.com is a place to check that out. But either way, I feel you, empath, artist, and I will see you in the next one. Bye.